That's what I'm talking about. I got to send this out to my buddy Jeff. Jeff, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. And welcome to the program. And this is kind of like, it's kind of weird because when I say public service radio, your first inclination is, well, that sucks. And then, you know, you want to tune out. But it really is public service radio because there are two times of the year deer are most active or most likely to get hit, springtime and then this time of the year. And as you know, it gets darker and darker, earlier and earlier. We have thieves stealing our light. You might not be aware of that, but it's an unreported conspiracy here in Western New York, probably demonically inspired. But yeah, the days are getting shorter and shorter. It just seems to happen this year after every 21st of June, every year. It's like an annual thing. I'm confused and confounded by the whole thing. But where did you hit your deer? And knock on wood, I have yet to hit one, despite the fact that I live in a very, very highly concentrated area of deer, and not just any deer, brazen deer. They will come within 10 feet of you, like you're not going to do anything to it, and you're not going to do anything to it because, well, you can't hunt. And by the way, if you hit a deer with your car, you are not allowed to put it down yourself with a firearm. I'm not sure if you can use an axe, but with a, you cannot shoot an injured deer. You have to wait for the cops to get there. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not giving legal advice, but I would bet it would be a pretty good defense if you got the dispatcher to give you permission to put it out of its misery. That, at least, and that's going to be a recorded call, so that might be a pretty good defense. But, I mean, in some counties, it takes, I mean, especially a low-priority call, like a deer getting hit by a car, it might take 20 or 25 minutes, and you're sitting there watching this poor creature in agony. I don't know. I mean, you don't want to lose your guns, but on the other hand, you don't want to see something suffer. So, I don't know. I'd probably explain it to the dispatcher and ask permission on a recorded line to put the thing out of its misery, which I really hope I just never have to do. So where have you hit your deer? Many of you have hit multiple deer and your close encounters with wildlife. And I've got a thing about hedgehogs. Do we have wild hedgehogs in Western New York? Have you seen one? I know we have porcupine, and I've never seen one. And I will tell you something. That's on my bucket list. I want to see a wild porcupine in Western New York. And I will put this call out to people north of Toronto, Cabin Country, Sundridge, that big hamburger place along the main highway there. Yeah, I want to, I might have made that drive a few times, but I know there are moose up there because my daughter saw one along with a whole busload of young hockey hopefuls. And if have you seen a moose? How about bear? I mean, for all the bear pictures I've been receiving, I can't believe I haven't had a single call today about bear in your neighborhood. And what's wrong with you guys? I mean, do you not love me? Are you not entertained? That's a line from Gladiator with Russell Crowe. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Am I not merciful? Let's go to Steve on WBEN. I got to stop watching movies. Steve in Williamsville, you're on. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Okay. I was going to work one day from Buffalo to Rochester at about 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, half awake because it was that early. And I was going down the highway, and all of a sudden, boom, a deer jumped across the median onto my windshield.
Oh.
And it was quite a shock, as you might imagine. The windshield gave, well, it didn't break open, but it bashed in and hit me in the head. And I managed to pull off to the side of the road. And then the door was bashed in, so I couldn't get out. And I had to go over to the passenger side, but the glass was all over the place. And so I had to put my hand in the glass trying to scoot over. And then I looked in the mirror and saw there were like 100 shards of glass stuck in my face.
Yep.
And luckily I had my glasses on. Otherwise it would have been my eyes. But So I had to pick all this glass out of my face. And, you know, I was standing there really in a state of shock until a police officer arrived.
Did you make the call or did somebody make the call for you?
No, I had to make the call. It was, you know, it was pretty early, so there wasn't really anybody else there.
So let me just so we're clear, the glass hit you and not like a hoof of the deer or an antler of the deer?
No, you know the left pylon that holds up the windshield? The deer kind of landed like halfway on the windshield and halfway on that thing. So it kind of bashed in the door and the windshield. And the windshield, you know, has some sort of material inside it, so it doesn't like break apart, but the glass shatters into a million pieces, but it stays attached to that piece of material.
Oh man. Okay, now look, I'm not gonna lie, to me that would be a traumatic experience. How did it affect it? And I don't think you're a weak person if it affected you. How did it affect you, like, in the weeks and months to come?
You know, after, it was just initially that shock of just out of the blue, just, you know, having something slam into the windshield. And like, I had to struggle to maintain the car because I started swerving, you know, and then I managed to, you know, get the car over to the side of the road. Luckily, there weren't other cars on the road because I, you know, might have run into one of them. But I was able to get over to the side. Then I realized what happened and I called the police and, I was going to work at a hospital in Rochester, so I had to call him up and tell him I wasn't going to make it because I didn't have a car to use. And
you actually should have just taken the ambulance to get the glass taken out of your face. Wow. I am so sorry to hear that. I presume the deer was DOA or dead at the scene?
Yes. I looked back and checked on the deer, and it was completely dead. It was, you know. That must have been horrible because, you know, I was going about 65 miles an hour and, you know, it was quite a shock.
So the part that went through the window or caused all that damage to your windshield, was it the hindquarters or the head?
I assume it was the front of the deer because, you know, it was coming from my left side, like across the highway.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
And I mean, my concern being, imagine if it was like a 10-point buck. You could have been antlered to death.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah.
I mean, think about that for just a minute. I mean, that's why I asked if maybe you had some lingering trauma from it, because I'm sure in the annals of motor vehicle accidents, there are people who have been impaled by deer antlers and have died that way. And it makes me sick.
Well, you know, since you mentioned moose, my girlfriend's parents lived up in Maine in the summertime, and they were coming home from the movie theater at night, a drive-in movie, and they hit a moose, and that just completely destroyed their car. Luckily, they weren't injured, but those things are huge.
Well, in fact, by the way, they lived in Maine in the summertime. What's it like to have rich in-laws? But anyway, yeah. I digress. I digress. If you've driven in Maine, they actually have signs on the road with giant moose on them, and underneath the sign, 580 moose hit so far this year. And that'll get your attention in a big hurry.
I've been trying to see a moose every time we've gone up there for the last 10 years, and I haven't seen a moose, but you're right, the signs are everywhere.
They sure are. Imagine if lobster, can you imagine if lobster were the size of moose? I mean, I'm just saying that would be kind of weird. They'd be a menace to humanity. Thank you very much, sir. I'm glad you escaped unscathed, relatively, and appreciate the call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, folks, and you know, one of the problems, and don't hate me for saying this, there are so many deer signs along the New York State Thruway. I think they lose their effectiveness. I mean, what they ought to do is just put signs at every on-ramp saying, deer all over the place, be careful, instead of the dancing deer signs. And then every Christmas time, a few people put the red nose decals on the deer because people are weird that way. Okay, let's go to Don in Cheektowaga. Don, you're on WBEN. Where and when did you hit your deer?
Hey, Tom, how you doing? I actually was about 35 years ago. I actually hit it at Buffalo Airfield on Clinton Street in West Seneca.
Were you in a single-engine fixed-wing aircraft, like taking off or landing?
I was landing, actually, in the evening, and I didn't see it, obviously, till the last second, but three of them got in front of me, and it was the one trailing that I ended up hitting with the airplane.
Oh, my God. That you know what? I mean, it's bad enough you got to look out for the turkey vultures and the red-tailed hawks and the Cooper hawks. I don't know how close you've come to having one smash through your windscreen when you're flying, but there was, I'm just going to imagine, there was no time for you to go full power and attempt a touch and go, right? It was just that fast?
Not at all. It did quite a bit of damage to the airplane. And at the time, it was a couple owners ago, back in the late 80s, but they had been looking to try to get a fence put up. Not that deer really obey fences too much, but they've been trying to get the FAA to get a fence put up, get the funding for it. And they said, well, this will help us get that fence put up now. I said, oh, okay.
Did it?
It did. Yeah, I think they put it in the following year.
Well, it's got to be tall enough that the deer can't leap over it. And if you remember, there was a problem a few years ago at the Williamsville Cemetery, which is run by our friends over at the Forest Lawn Cemetery Group. They had the metal fence with the spikes on top, and every now and again, a deer would try to leap the fence and not make it and basically impale, and it was just horrible. I mean, that's just no way to go.
Yeah, they had it on the north side of the runway, and it's still, you know, there's still a 6 foot, 8 foot fence. They can still get over it if they want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
They're very agile creatures. And I need to find out, what were you flying? What model and make?
172. I'm not sure exactly what model it was, but at the time it was one of the planes they rented out over there.
So it's a high wing.
Yep.
And what part of the plane did the deer hit?
Amazingly, it got by the propeller. But what happened, because the flaps were down because I was landing, it actually hit the flap. As it hit the flap and then went back and hit the tail, so that the stabilizer also.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm kind of curious. How did you maintain control of the aircraft? I mean, I'm presuming that the foot pedals were pretty much inoperable?
No, the brakes still work. So I just braked quickly to stop on the runway because... obviously taken by surprise, but yeah, luckily they still worked, and the nose gear still, I was able to steer it, get it off the runway. And but yeah, did a lot of damage to the airplane, and the deer was deceased, so it took them a while to get that airplane back in the air again.
Yeah, and to be very honest with you, I wouldn't go up in it. Sorry. Something that heavily damaged, no thank you. I mean, it's like, you want to buy a Concorde real cheap? I don't think so. You know, it what amazes me is that we don't hear about this more, because, you know, especially rural airfields, there are deer all over the place. There are deer all over the place by the Greater Buffalo Niagara International Airport. And it amazes me that I've not heard of, that's not to say it hasn't happened, but I've not heard of a commercial airliner hitting a deer on takeoff or on landing. The takeoff thing scares the hell out of me. And I like flying, especially commercially, but I don't know if a deer would be, you know, I mean, if a deer hits the right spot in a commercial airliner, the antler ruptures the fuel. I mean, you saw what happened to the Concorde when it ran over a piece of debris in the runway in De Gaulle Airport in Paris. So that's something that is got to be, I think they should actually have like big game hunters scattered around the runway to make sure we don't have anything like that happen.
Well, as long as it's not a trophy contest.
No, as long as it's not a trophy contest. Yes, of course. Obviously, you listened to the show yesterday for cash prizes. No, but it's. But seriously, I mean, the odds, just think about all of the things that had to converge at exactly the wrong moment for your Cessna 172 to hit the deer. And I'm just thinking, what if it had hit the propeller first? You would have been dealing with puree, and you wouldn't have been able to see through the windscreen at all.
Yeah, that would have been a mess. I mean, you know, every airport we go to is pretty much like a nature preserve. There's just animals everywhere.
Oy.
And what they do for the birds, they have those propane cannons or whatever those, and they make that boom sound. Some airports hire dogs to chase them away, you know, to keep them out. But you don't see too many deer at regular airports, but definitely because Clinton Street, where it's located, it's right in the middle of that deer run that goes all the way through the county, so it's looking the perfect spot.
Well, I mean, you know what? Arrow Drive, Amherst, Cheektowaga, I think it's Cheektowaga's jurisdiction, but almost hit a deer there once, too, and that's very close to the airport, and I don't know... Yeah. I don't know what measures the airport has in place to keep the deer off of the runway, but I hope that they're listening. And now that I think they finished their electrical work, because I'm not being awakened at 5:30 every morning by the Southwest flight, or was it Eastern? I'm not sure. Eastern Airlines. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, if you're on hold, I would appreciate it if you would stay there. Please know that I will go right to the calls following the news break. I hate leaving you guys on hold for longer than absolutely necessary. If you stay there, I'd be appreciative. If you can't, I understand. No hard feelings, but I'm a prisoner of the clock. As much as I love talking to you, we have sponsors, which we urge you to patronize, but never patronize, on News Radio 930 WBEN. Me. Tanner, I no longer like you. Just crank it just a little bit. Our one-hit wonder show. Remember that? Yesterday?
I realize the way your eyes deceived me.
One-hit wonder. I think we can call her a one-hit wonder, at least as a solo artist. Marie Osmond and Paper Woses. All righty then. Tanner, before I throw up in my mouth just a little bit like I always do during the Charlene song, sorry, little reference there to Gina Latuca's favorite bit of music. Let's get back to the calls as promised. I hate keeping you on hold. Here is Dan in Buffalo. Dan, talking about where you hit your deer and other close encounters with wildlife, such as wild turkeys, bear, porcupine, hedgehogs, just unusual stuff that we don't think actually exists around here. Maybe a coyote. You're on WBEN. Maybe a mountain lion. You're on WBEN. Hello.
How you doing today, Thomas?
Yes, sir. I also want to hear from Canadians in northern Ontario about your moose sightings. I know the moose are up there. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so anyway, to your question about the Buffalo Airport there over on Genesee Street and all the deer that are in Cheektowaga, I'm a contractor. I do some work over at the airport, and without saying too much, I will volunteer that you don't have anything to worry about. Nothing happens on that property that they don't know about. If there's a deer anywhere on that property, they're fully aware of it. Birds, they come, they go, but they're aware of them, okay? Without saying what I've seen, they know what's going on there. I promise you that. No worries about landing on deer or taking off a deer on the runways.
I'm going to tell you something that, frankly, that gives me relief. And I know that the airport perimeter is very highly surveilled, but surveillance is only as good as the person watching the surveillance. Hopefully there's an electronic buzzer that goes off to indicate, hey, here's the camera to look at right now.
There's some real sophisticated technology over there. Not to worry. So,
I'm actually very happy to hear that.
Yeah. So then, aside from that, I've hit a couple deer. Once in a work vehicle, to absolutely total dead, no damage to me or any harm or injury or whatever. And once in a personal vehicle. And so I guess the thing that I want to relate is that I hunt deer. I'm familiar with them. I pattern them. I'm kind of familiar with them to a degree that I think most people might not be. And I would like to encourage people, if they see a deer on the side of the road, they're driving along on a dark highway or something. If you see a deer on the side of the road and it's just feeding or something, don't just drive by. Blare your horn. Blow your horn at them. Deer can be conditioned. They can learn. What they need to understand is that vehicles are a threat to them. If we could, just collectively, when we see deer on the side of the road, blow your horn. I'll tell you what, I've been doing it for years, okay? And 100% of the time, without exception, the deer have either remained motionless or run back away from the road, okay? 100% of the time, I've never had a deer run in front of me.
That would be my fear, the startle reflex of a deer. My luck, I'd be the one honking the horn. It would run right in front of me.
And I know that would be the hesitation, and I'll tell you, I've done it hundreds of times over the past 10 years, and I've never once had a deer run into traffic or run
good
towards the vehicle.
So what you're doing is basically you are provoking a Pavlovian response in the deer by honking your horn.
You got to try to condition them to see the vehicles and moving vehicles as a threat to them. They are very conditional. If they perceive something as a threat, they will avoid it. And then if people start blowing their horns at these deer, they're going to stay away from them. They're not going to run into the traffic quite as much. I'm not saying it's a perfect solution,
Right.
But I think it could trend towards the other way. It might help a little bit, you know?
You know what? That's a really interesting concept, and you're using very basic elementary psychology that we all read about in Psych 101 with Pavlov and his dogs. I'm going to – you know what? The problem is – Dan, wait, is this my Dan?
It's your Dan, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, good. Dan is he's an amazing gardener. He's an awesome dude. He's got a rescue dog, and I don't mean a dog he rescued. I mean a dog that goes tracking people and other missing dogs. And Dan, much to my disgust, actually has the eagle eyes of a hawk, and if there's a porcupine hiding in a tree, he will spot it and take a picture and send it to me when he knows that all I want in life is to see a porcupine in the wild.
Yeah, you know, they're out there. I got some property out in Allegheny, and I was walking the dog, and I seen one in a tree. And you know, I just don't want the dog to ever mess with one. And I was going to dispatch it just to remove the threat from the property. And I thought to myself, you know, what if I just injure it? The thing drops out of the tree, and then the dog gets into it. So we just left it alone and went the other way, and just let it be. It wasn't hurting anything, so.
Just let it do porcupine stuff.
I would just hate if the dog got into it.
Dan, one more question, because if there's anybody who have seen these two creatures in Western New York, it would be you. Number one, hedgehog. Yes or no?
Is a hedgehog a groundhog, a woodchuck?
Nope, no, it's something. A hedgehog looks like a porcupine without the things that are going to fly off and hurt you.
Yeah, so I thought hedgehogs were over in England. I didn't think we had those over here.
They do run a pretty wide range. Apparently, they are not uncommon in hedgerows, and they can be found in New York State. Okay, second question. New York State has one documented big cat species, and it is the bobcat. Have you seen a bobcat?
I have seen bobcats, yes.
Oh, how cool was that?
Well, it was a very brief encounter. I looked up, I saw the thing on the branch of an old cherry tree, and as soon as I saw it, it's almost like it sensed that my eyes were on it, and it was gone. Very elusive. Very elusive they are.
Yeah, I hope you put a trail cam up on your property, because you probably get some great stuff. You might get Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah, I've got trail cams. I've not picked up a bobcat on camera. I've got pretty much everything else, you know, the bears, the raccoons, the skunks, the fox, deer, you know, what have you. But, no, I have not picked up a bobcat out there yet. So,
As you know, all of those things frequent my backyard, with the exception of porcupines and bobcats. Dan, thank you for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. And by the way, Wild Morning Glory, if you can come up with a way to eradicate Wild Morning Glory, I think you should win the Nobel Prize.
Hey, one thing on the dispatching deer with that you've hit or something like that, absolutely not. I don't even think a dispatcher could give you permission to discharge a firearm on the side of a road. I don't think that's permissible. I would strongly advise no one to do that.
Well, that's the only circumstance I can think of where it might be defensible. But again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not giving legal advice. I'm just saying, I mean, nobody wants to see an animal suffer, but I also know the way this state is with firearms, and if they can find a way to get yours, they will happily take yours. The only thing I could think of is receiving authorization, if not from the dispatcher, somebody up in the chain of command who is in a position, and it would be a recorded call. So if you could produce a recording in court with a lieutenant or the shift captain saying, "I authorize you to kill the deer," that would be probably a good defense. But
probably. I just don't think they would volunteer that. I just don't see that happen. I'll tell you a quick story though. I was driving out in Allegheny County, and I came upon a deer that was on the side of the road, and there were two coyotes working on it. This thing was still alive. Oh. I pulled over, chased the dogs away. Saw the condition of the deer. There was no salvaging it. You know, the front legs were broke, so it was done. And these dogs were eating it from the, you know, from the back end up. And you know, what could I do? And you know, I had my pistol with me, but you know, it's outside of a house. You can't, you know. And so, first thing I did, I went and I got my water bottle, and actually gave the deer some water. It was very grateful. It was drinking the water right out. Drank the whole bottle of water. Okay, and then. while it was doing that, I took my belt off and a tire iron, leaned on its chest, and I basically suffocated it to put it out of its misery. Which was, I mean, it's not easy. I'm not proud of it, but I'm just saying that, you know, in my defense, it was all I could do.
Well, you could have used the crowbar or a baseball bat to bash its head in. I mean,
oh, dude, it doesn't work that way. No,
no,
you'd be banging away for a while. The thing would flail and everything else.
Geez.
No, I think I did what I could do. You know, I just
I'm sorry. I know you love wildlife, but I mean, you did the right thing. It was kind of like Band of Brothers, where the guy supposedly gave cigarettes to the German POWs and then executed them. You gave the deer a drink of water and then murdered it. For cash prizes. Dan, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't. I mean, again, as tempting as it might be to put a deer out of its misery with a firearm, you can't do it in New York State. You can't do it. I'm not even sure if you can do it anywhere else. And, you know, do you really want to lose your guns over a deer? You can't do it. And the only out I could think of is the one I mentioned earlier. But again, I'm not saying that's foolproof. I'm not saying it's legal. I'm just saying that's the only thing I can think of that might make it justifiable. I don't know. You just want to make sure you're on a recorded line, but even then, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. I mean, humanity says, well, you should be able to put it out of its misery, but it's only a matter of time before somebody puts it out of its misery and it ricochets off the ground, goes through somebody's picture window, and kills a three-year-old. Here is vivid picture there. Rod in Elma. Rod, you're on WBEN. Where did you hit your deer, or have you seen some unusual wildlife in Western New York?
Actually, I'm like you, Tom. I've come very close hitting a deer a lot of times, but actually there was four deer hit and died on my property in Elma.
Oh.
One actually was hit running Jameson Road.
Okay.
It's right by the 400, so there's a lot of traffic.
Yep.
And they do come across the street there. They actually come in from the back, but they cross the street there. One actually was hit by a van and then ended up on the other side of the road. And then a little car hit it the second time, tore up his, you know, bottom of his car. I had one, got hit in the rear end, ended up on the driveway, thought it was dead. It was, you know, early in the morning. You could see where it was going across my yard and it plopped down and it was a blood spot, like three or four spots. I thought it was dead. I came up to it and it poked its head up and, you know, looked right at you, and it's like, oh, geez, now I got to find somebody to take this thing down. So, and it took some DA or DEC guy from Eden because the sheriff and the trooper wouldn't come out. And he came out probably about 25 minutes later. But I also had another one, was a fawn. He didn't. Eating my apples because they love apples.
Yep.
And it ended up, I actually heard it. Didn't know I was on the tractor. I heard this kind of smack sound with the tractor going. Later on that night, I found it. The mom was over the top of it. And that time I got a sheriff to come out. But it's, yeah, the deer are just, it's unbelievable how many deer are out there. So,
you know what? I mean, we used to think of deer as being an Elma, East Aurora, Wales, Holland kind of thing. But I assure you, I mean, they're even in the city of Buffalo. Go to Forest Lawn sometime. There's tons of deer in Forest Lawn. You never used to see deer in Forest Lawn, but it's a great place to live. You've got a fenced in yard, you've got fresh running water, and plenty of stuff that deer like to eat.
Yeah, my mom lives by the airport. She actually has a neighbor that feed the deer. There's an empty lot.
Can't do it.
He's been feeding them for years and years, and I'm sure there's a lot of dead deer because of him, because he feeds the deer, and that whole area is probably overpopulated because he feeds them.
Understood.
And I'm sure there's a couple got into the airport. I'm sure.
Well, apparently if they did, they don't last very long. Kind of a public service show, and hopefully it's of general interest. Where did you hit your deer? And they are everywhere in Western New York, especially Amherst, Williamsville, and when I first moved into where I live now, one night I was opening the side door and I heard these hooves. And I thought somebody had rented a carriage. And then I look out and there's like all these deer just brazenly walking up the street like they owned it. And my car actually got scratched by a deer antler. I saw it on the security footage later and I had to laugh. Of everything that could happen to my car, of anything that would happen in my life, I'm the one who gets his car antlered by a deer. True story. Let's go back to Rod and Elma, who's had some very unpleasant experiences with not hitting deer, but basically having to deal with the consequences of injured deer on his property.
Okay. I just wanted to say, too, I'm glad that you're in such a good mood with all the issues you had health-wise. And maybe you do have a deer guardian angel. So at least you're, you know, not hitting a deer because you've been going through so much.
No, dude, I'm as strong as an ox. I really am. It's just...
Well, you're going through all that stuff. Because I'm your age and I'm fairly healthy, but I hear about heart attacks all the time. You never know. And so, yeah, you're dealing with it really good. You got a great spirit. And it gives me a little, joy that at least, you know, you can deal with this stuff. And I imagine it's therapeutic to be on the radio too. So,
you know what, to be honest with you, the heart attack, I think, did leave me with some post-traumatic stress issues. To be brutally honest with you, I don't think you can come that
common,
close to,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't come that close to death and not have some residual effects from it. The other stuff I kind of laugh off. I mean, the detached retina, I mean, I had to make light of that. And the next procedure I got coming in, where they literally have to go into me and pull out a kidney stone. And
yeah,
all I can say,
I know two guys that had detached retinas and had kidney stones. So, and they're my age too. So,
well, I've got some good news
though.
I've got some good news about that, though. This procedure, it's not going to cost me that much because they only charge by the inch. I thank you very much. Yeah, so go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, with these music, you want bump music, right? You're looking for new bump music?
Not really, no. I mean, I've got like a wealth of songs in my head, but what would you like to hear?
Sausalito Nights, Diesel.
I'll let Tanner. I'll let Tanner give it a listen.
It's a great riff. They got a great riff on it.
I'm not familiar with it.
Kind of like a one-hit wonder kind of thing, you know.
I'll let Tanner make the final decision. So if you don't hear it today, it's blame it on Tanner Saunders. Okay.
No, I'll call back when you have the other show.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, the one-hit wonder show we did yesterday was amazing, and I want to bring that topic back next week for a longer period of time. But anyway, as far as, like, the health stuff, basically with me, it's like water off a duck's back. Just stuff happens. And, like I always say, in my whole family, I got the worst set of genes going, but you have a choice. You can either be completely devastated by it, or you can just move on and push forward with it. And all I think of is surgery. Wait, that means morphine and Dilaudid. Count me in. Anyway, sorry, drug issue? No. We have more calls coming in. If you're on hold, please stay there. If you're not, I totally understand. I hate keeping you guys on hold longer than I have to. I will never do it longer than I have to, but I have to take a break now and get ready for the news at 5 on News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll see if I can't play something that Miss Carrie will enjoy later on. Wonder if she's a fan of that song the dude mentioned on WBEN.